Soon after he sat down for an interview this week, Michael Keaton mentioned his career. Then he rephrased.
My career, what I do for a living.
Just how he describes his acting means a lot to Keaton, as we're going to hear. And the life of an actor is at the heart of Keaton's new film. In Birdman, he plays an aging movie star who once played a superhero, a role he can't quite get over.
He took the pill and he bought the whole thing. You know, people will love me, I'll be famous, I'll be rich, I'll have a few big houses, I'll have women, I'm important, what I say is important, I'm cool looking, I'm deep, I'm all these things, because people start to tell you that, or you start to tell yourself that, or you read something about yourself and actually believe it.
Years after playing that big role, he's grasping for a comeback. He's writing, directing, and starring in a Broadway play, though a voice in his head keeps telling him he's too good for that.
How did we end up here?
We had it all.
You were a movie star, remember?
Who was this guy? He used to be Birdman.
Now, in real life, Michael Keaton himself played a comic superhero, not Birdman, but Batman. Our talk was a chance to talk about Keaton's acting life, including his reluctance to call his job a career. Very early in our conversation, you started to say, my career, and then rephrased and said, what I do for a living.
Yeah.
What's
very
the difference?
Very sharp, Steve. Very, very sharp. Boy, oh boy. This guy doesn't miss a trick.
What's the difference to you?
Well, I just never use that expression in my career. You know, my career. I don't know. I come from a background where you don't really talk about yourself much. It's somewhat self-involved, you know, my career. You know, in my career, I need my career. I do a lot of different things, but my income primarily comes from this. It's what I do for a living.
Can I just mention that in this film, you as an actor, as well as your character, you make yourself vulnerable here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, beyond that, yeah.
You're in certain poses where you're clearly vulnerable. You're up there on camera. Your face is 25 feet high and just clearly not made up in any way. I mean, we see every line in your face.
Yes. Yeah.
There were probably wrinkles on your face longer than my arm, given the size they were on the screen.
There were probably wrinkles that just got created for the movie. Jesus. I don't want to accuse anyone of any CGI work here, but holy macaroni. First of all, it didn't matter. That's the job. I'm not a pretty guy. That's not my thing. So it doesn't matter in this case, because vanity doesn't enter the picture here. I mean, since I was a kid, I kind of loved that kind of stuff. That's the chance to, you know, I don't know, funny beards and big ears and kind of dirty face. I don't know. I just like that kind of stuff. It makes me feel like I'm actually doing something.
I was drawn to this story in large measure because it is a play being put on that is based on a short story collection, and a specific short story by Raymond Carver, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. And
yeah.
It's four people getting drunk while talking about what love is.
Yeah, I think people get drunk in his short stories a lot.
Yeah, that's one of the major factors in a Raymond Carver story.
Yeah.
But so is love, or
yeah,
trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out where that fits with some of the other ambitions, emotions, and themes, because we're talking here about film versus theater. We're talking about fame versus respect. We're talking about a business versus art. Mm. Does love fit in there somewhere?
There's, you know, the theory or the philosophy or the belief that you live in two places. You either live in fear or you live in love, you know, and fear sure don't work. And show business is essentially a fear-based industry. So
what do you mean? Fear of failing? Fear of being fired? What's the fear?
You know, feared, am I popular? Am I going to head the studio next week? Is this movie going to open? Am I going to get funded? Am I going to get the job? And then there's this kind of strange survival of the fittest instinct, kind of like Lord of the Flies things, that subconsciously takes over, where people sense that and then see how they can take advantage, you know.
Sure.
It gets opportunistic, you know, it gets a little bit like a wolf pack, and you're done, if, in my opinion, you know, you're done if you buy into that. You're just done. I'm assuming you're not allowed to curse. Am I allowed to curse on this show?
You can do anything you want.
Well, then if you believe in that, you're That's what I really want to say. So you can't do that. And that's what Regan Thompson, the character I play, didn't/doesn't get. But then he kind of does. without giving too much of this movie away.
So you just laid out this philosophy saying that you either live in fear or you live in love.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, I don't live in fear, I try not to anyway.
Right.
Does that mean you're...
You don't want to do that.
Are you doing the opposite? Are you living in love? And
yeah,
what does that
I try
mean?
To do that. You know, you're constantly judging people and, you know, selfishly it will help me, but I just don't think that's a good way to live, you know, to judge people and to quote my boy Franny over there in Rome, who am I to judge?
Oh, Pope Francis.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was your boy. That's
I got a statue of St. Francis in my front yard, and I'm not even a practicing Catholic.
Oh, so it sounds like living in love for you is letting go of things, not holding things against
people. Oh, man, it's a lot of things. Courage, I guess you could say, you know, not constantly put yourself in a position where you're kind of screwed. You know, you're out of flow as soon as you start tightening up, right? And usually tighten up if you're fearful. That's why, you know, acting is such an interesting kind of way to make a living and such an interesting art form or trade or craft, whatever it is. Because when it's being done well, I think, at least for me, is you're 100% present and at the same time, you just totally let go. I used to compete riding cutting horses, and this is a trained horse, trained to do a certain thing.
Right.
And you have to hope that at that point your horse is so well trained and his or her instincts are so strong that you have to trust the animal. You go, you know, I'm just going to let go, man. I can't tighten up my legs. I can't get too locked up in my body. And at the same time, I've got to stay 100% present. That's essentially for me what I'm doing. You know, I'm locked in solid. And at the same time, I'm just not in control of it at all. You just kind of let it occur.
Well, Michael Keaton, thanks very much. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much.